Hello, friends, and good afternoon, or good morning, or good evening, wherever you are on the planet. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here in Bellevue, Washington, on 1150 AM, just outside Seattle in the United States. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, UFOs, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and to make this planet a far better and much happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can do it. We can make this planet a much better place. Out of This World Radio is the fastest-growing spiritual, psychic, and UFO radio program in the world, with listeners in over 60 countries. And today's show should be really out of this world. During the first hour, from 2 to 3 p.m., I'll be interviewing Dr. J.J. Hertek and his wife, Dr. Desiree Hertek. They are two of the most famous spiritual people in the world. Dr. Hertek's journey started back, I believe, in the early 70s when he was he encountered some benevolent extraterrestrials who brought him along board their spacecraft and gave him some amazing knowledge, which he has since shared with humanity. He is the author of many books, including The Book of Knowledge, The Keys of Enoch. This book has been translated into 20 languages, and The End of Suffering, which he co-authored with his colleague, physicist famous Russell Targ from Stanford University. Dr. Hertek has a PhD from the University of California and a second PhD from the University of Minnesota. They have they've written some amazing books. In a few minutes, we'll be going to that interview. During the second hour, from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m., we're very fortunate to be interviewing Cassandra Dunn. Cassandra's worked closely with a miracle healer named John of God from Brazil. For people who know John of God or heard of him, he is a just incredibly interesting fellow. He's able to heal people where Western science can't or don't, including all kinds of things, including cancer, all kinds of diseases. And I think you'll find her interview fascinating. I tried to get John of God from Brazil on the program today, but he hasn't been feeling well. But perhaps for a future show, I'd love to have him on. But before we go to our guests, I'd like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including the wonderful Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma, Washington, the Tokeland Inn in Tokeland, Washington, the wonderful New Renaissance Bookstore in Portland, Oregon, and Orion Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon. With that, I'd like to bring on my friend Karina from the wonderful Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma. Karina, are you there?
Yes, I am, Ted. How are you?
I'm fine. I have to tell you, that when I walk into your bookstore, Karina, and I see the statue of Buddha just inside the door on the right, and the beautiful you've got kind of like all these plants there, and then a waterfall. You have a wonderful uplifting atmosphere in your bookstore.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, that is of course the energy that we're trying to create here in Tacoma. We kind of call it the peaceful oasis here in Tacoma, in the middle of the hustle and bustle. We are open 7 days a week, and we do have, aside from the books, which you mentioned, we have items for the altar, we have candles and incense and Buddha and angel figurines and all kinds of pendulums and natural stone jewelry, you name it, kind of we got it.
Well, and you also will be having a psychic fair this weekend, and I think I'll be there on Sunday.
Yes, you will. So it's the whole weekend. So we have about 10 or 12 different psychics and vendors that are here in the store. And then we have all the healing arts practitioners, which are down the hall.
Wonderful.
So it makes a really great weekend, a lot of fun, a lot of different talented readers that offer anything from animal communication to tarot to astrology to angel readings. You know, it's a nice group of people.
Wonderful, Karina. Could you please give out your address so my listeners could find you?
Yes. So it's 3802 South Cedar Street in Tacoma, Washington. And it's on the corner of South Cedar and South 38th Street. So about half a mile from the Tacoma Mall.
Oh,
and if you need better directions, you can go to crystalvoyage.com, and it will give you the location and hours and so forth.
Wonderful. I'll be there myself from 12 noon to 5 p.m., and my psychic readings will be free. The only thing I ask is that you make a donation to the Moto Peace Project so they can buy and distribute angel water to the children of Fukushima so they won't get cancer. Well, Karina, thank you so much for coming on today, and I look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
Thank you, Ted. Appreciate all the good information that you're putting out there. We need more of it.
My pleasure, my friend. You have a wonderful day, and please say hi to Crystal for me.
I will do that. Thank you. Right. You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I also would like to thank the many wonderful sponsors of this show, including my my dear friend Carol, who's been signing my website and providing wonderful support, my dear friend Ann Nelson, business professor at Walla Walla College, who helped me start my program, my dear friend Michiko Hayashi of the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, who's been doing wonderful work with both the children's books and Message from Water children's books and the Angel Water Project, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, and I couldn't do this without my wonderful sound engineer Eric Ryder and my station manager Eric Crema, without whose help and support this program would not have been possible. I wanted to tell you briefly, I've started a new spiritual mentoring program. I'll be happy to give people 2 full readings a month for $100, or for $500, I'd be happy to give people 2 full readings a month for 6 months. I've been in touch with the other side for 21 years, and I have a very high accuracy rate with my readings. If you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me anytime on my toll-free number if you're in North America at 1-888-879-8339, or on my cell directly at 509-750-9793. Out of This World Radio is supported entirely by donations, and for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it, or you can send a check if you like, or money order to me, Ted Marr, at 1347 Deerbrush Drive Southeast, Olympia, Washington, 98513. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers for the show. Any advertising on my program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services in over 60 countries. I also have a new column on my webpage called Ask Ted. When you click on the website at www.outofthisworld1150.com, you'll see the little Ask Ted column there, and just feel free to click it on. You can always listen to the show live from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Seattle time at www.1150kknw.com, and after the show, you can always listen to the show at www.outofthisworld1150.com. Briefly, I wanted to mention a few upcoming events as well. Tomorrow on Saturday, October 3rd, I'll be giving readings all day at a really nice bookstore called Godfather's Books at 1108 Commercial Street in beautiful Astoria, Oregon, at the mouth of the Columbia River. Their phone number is 503-325-8143. Then again on Sunday, October 4th, I'll be doing readings from noon to 5 p.m. at the wonderful Crystal Voyage Bookstore just on 38th Street, just down the street from Tacoma Mall in Tacoma. On Sunday, I wanted to tell you, too, October 18th, the Seattle UFO Group, SUFON, will have a lecture by Professor Townsend from Centralia College on Bigfoot or Sasquatch. The event will be from 1:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m., and it'll take place on Sunday, October 18th, at the Russian Community Center at 704 19th Avenue East in Seattle. The cost is just $10, and there's even some really cool prices, like a plaster cast of a Bigfoot footprint. For those of you in Vancouver, Canada, I will be the Master of Ceremonies for the Mind, Body, and Spirit Expo at the P&E Center in downtown Vancouver from Friday, October 30th to Sunday, November 1st. I'll be giving a presentation while at the expo and also be doing readings. They are expecting 26,000 people to attend this wonderful event. And if you're in Seattle, from Seattle to Vancouver, it's only about 2.5 hours' drive, so please come up. If you'd like more information, please go to their website at http://bodysoulspiritexpo.com, or you can call them toll-free at 1-877-560-6830. I have a few more announcements to make, but I think I'll wait to do that after we play our interview. This is a pre-recorded interview with Drs. J.J. Hertecht and Desiree Hertecht. I think you'll find it fascinating. So we'll go ahead and go play that interview now. Well, Dr. J.J. and Desiree Hertecht, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate you taking the time.
It's our great pleasure. We work around the world, and happily we're here on the East Coast right now, and we've got a great connection with you, so we're willing to take it from the top regarding the classic book of knowledge, Keys of Enoch, which we've worked with for more than 42 years.
Oh, my goodness. I know it's a famous book, and how many languages has it been translated into so far?
Approximately 33 languages. We're still working on the Chinese and the Arabic, but it's gone out in major languages. We've been very privileged to have top linguists with us throughout the world. And as you know, we are also specialists in a variety of disciplines. So we are always on the move from continent to continent on the theme of unity of both the spiritual as well as the new scientific.
Wonderful, wonderful. Could you tell my many listeners around the world how you started on this spiritual journey and how the book arose?
Well, I was a young linguist slash anthropologist back in the early 70s. I had what some would call a type of higher consciousness experience, awakening to a reality that there was something beyond the scope of normal information theory and practice. As a young teacher at the university, I could no longer push the envelope in terms of traditional cosmology philosophy, that we were simply the byproducts of the chemical properties of atoms and molecules, or the electromagnetic forces of electrons and protons. There was something that was missing, and that was what I felt to be a deeper or a more creative consciousness. And so I began to combine certain language structures with sounds in meditation and deep prayer, utilizing both Eastern and Near Eastern language forms. I entered into a higher dimension of light. Momentarily, it happened to be in Earth time, 2 days. When I came back out of this experience, I authored what is now called the Keys of Enoch, because the spiritual entity that spoke to me in this higher consciousness experience was one who described himself as the messenger of light, or Enoch.
Right, and so hi, Ted, and hi, hello to your audience. This is Dr. Desiree Hertak, and I was his student at the time. And when he came back after, this is of course the Christmas break. If you're a student coming back, he had totally changed a lot of the things that he was talking about prior to that time, and really had put everything together. And so then it took him another couple years to put it into some solid book that he did with his students, where, you know, he was doing parts of the book in his classes, talking about higher cosmology and what other realities are all about. And it was really strange for most people. Of course, this was at a college in Los Angeles, but now many of these things are coming to the fore. Even when he was talking, people didn't understand what a capstone or pyramid capstone was, and now, of course, we all understand that.
Well, the original manuscript was in circulation in 1973. I was able to dictate this into a tape recorder, and then I later found the illustrator that took me a couple years to put this together in a more formal fashion. But we're interested in talking to our world audience in many realities, connecting the dots of anthropology, genetics, mathematics, consciousness, and then cosmology, because they're all interconnected. And that's the change that we've seen in the last 30 some years, is there has been a realization of the holistic nature of all life, that all things are interconnected, and that we are basically orchestrating our new genetic code at this time. We're making tremendous breakthroughs and realizing that we are part of a process of life, of evolution, which connects us with what I call the higher evolution.
Well, you know, I had a wonderful interview with Professor Irvin Laszlo in Italy, and he was saying the same thing, that we all are interconnected. So I couldn't agree with you more, Professor Dr. Hertak.
Well, we respect his work very much. In Hungary, we have colleagues there, and we have mutual friends who are what we call evolutionary leaders, who are specialists in their fields of knowledge, seeing a higher unity taking place, not only in new areas of science, but also in psychology, philosophy, and even in religion, that has now been a transformative process into what we will call a new type of spirituality.
Right, and the whole concept of interconnectedness relates on many levels. One, we start seeing it in the concept of non-locality, which is really something that Einstein called the spooky interconnectedness, of how one thing can affect another at a distance. Even a photon can affect another photon that isn't touching it any longer. Maybe like it was a sister photon that's went out, and all of a sudden now if you one is rotated to be top down, the other one feels that change, even though it can be as much as 15 or 20 kilometers separate. So that's one aspect. The other aspect we've seen with non-locality and interconnectedness is some of our work in the area of remote viewing. And this was done, of course, at Stanford Research Institute back in the 70s. But we also have done some of that back in the 70s and continue working with our friend Elizabeth Rauscher into now the current time. We've done some amazing remote viewing.
I think our radio audience and our internet audience should know that Elizabeth Rauscher is the most prominent female physicist mathematician on the planet, who worked at Lawrence Livermore, who also presented main papers at various scientific conferences throughout the world. And we've co-authored several papers with her on what is called the multiverse, or that there are many universes. Besides the physical, there are the non-physical.
You know, what's fascinating about that, I don't know a lot about this subject, and I'd love to ask you these questions. I've heard, Dr. Hrtek and Desiree, that these multiverses actually exist side by side our own universe, and then in a way they're parallel universes. Is that correct?
Well, there's various ideas. Obviously, no one really knows at this time because there does seem to be a separation. Some scientists are trying to break out and see if they can reach one of these multiverses or these other universes, because multiverse means multiple universes. But
right.
The idea of parallel universes is only one idea amongst the multi-universes. A parallel universe would literally be maybe something like a daughter universe. You can go right, but in you and another universe went left. So that's that kind of parallel universe. But in actuality, a multi-universe can also be just in terms of the Big Bang, where our universe formed, but then another universe formed and another universe formed. I mean, they don't have to be that interlinked to us. So there's various options. But I think the main thing is, and this does go back to the Keys of Enoch, which is, of course, the subject of this evening, is that the Keys of Enoch say that, you know, this is only one reality, one universe. And we have certain, we'll say, even angelic forces that work with our universe, but there's other universes and other realities. And God, if you want to use that term, is not just watching over this universe. He's, you know, he's kind of the guiding force amongst all various realities. And I often say, if God was really just watching over this planet, somebody's doing a really bad job. But if you start opening up the cosmology to multiple universes, not only in life systems and life forms in our universe, but other universes, you start getting the cosmology that Dr. Hrtek brought out in the 70s from the Keys of Enoch.
I know Desiree and I are going to be throwing out a lot of buzzwords, but essentially we've taken the old vocabulary and transposed it into a multidimensional reality of a new language system. It'd be like looking at the keyboard of black and white notes, and all of a sudden you're seeing multicolor keys that the eye is not normally seeing, unless you are a musician that can hear and orchestrate with both the acoustical feedback as well as other levels of music theory. So the Keys of Enoch basically represent a consciousness cosmology that looks at the physical universe, our physical galaxy, our Milky Way of some 800 million to 1 billion like sun systems that can support some form of evolution of life, but also takes off into another level of consciousness reality, capital C, which is behind both the physical as well as the mental, the non-physical projections of our mind, which means ultimately we realize that we are an active verb of life. We're not a static form where our consciousness is on one planet, but our consciousness is interconnected with all planets, all realities, if we achieve a higher creativity.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, you know, and there's a whole bunch of questions I want to ask, but I want to throw out this real quickly. And I think this probably feeds more is into the parallel universe theory, because what happened is I knew Dolores Cannon before she passed away last year, and she would often write about different parallel universes, and I'll give you an example of one. She said that parallel universes often exist side by side with one another, And I had an experience a couple of months ago where I had a small blue bag of thumb drives that I use in my work. I put it in my briefcase into a zipped area, and it just wasn't there. And then finally, about 3 weeks after I misplaced it, I looked in that same area for something else, and suddenly it appeared. And so I assumed that may have been a way from a parallel dimension where it existed in one dimension but popped in and out. And she often would say that things like that actually do pop in and out of this reality, but sometimes people don't realize it.
That's a good illustration. We knew her also quite well. We spoke at one of her conferences before she passed, and she was a sterling example of dealing with something that some would call the epiphenomenalism problem, which negates the casual of consciousness to be expanded. So, you know, scientists have taken a look at consciousness being the invisible parts of major quantum transitions, and the younger generation of scientists that we're working with throughout the world are realizing we're merging now into different realities that do construct parallel realities.
Well, certainly, even if you don't talk about parallel universes, you could talk about other, you know, realities, other dimensional happenings, and that things can teleportate even from one place to another. You see this with some of the gurus in India, and I believe they really can. We've seen this with Uri Geller, where a stone appears or something just materializes in this reality. And someone asked even Sai Baba about this, and, you know, it's not like he manufactures it. He might manufacture Vibhuti, but he actually takes some of these things from other places and brings it to his reality, to his space and time. So it's also, it could be very well something misplaced in space time that then comes back, almost like a quantum leap.
Fascinating. I have to ask you now, from my many listeners around the world who are not familiar with your wonderful book, when you had this experience back in the early 70s, were you taken off planet, or did you take a spiritual trip out of body somewhere to receive this information?
Well, it was a situation where light was placed around my body, and my body was biolocated, never physically taken off the planet into some other dimension.
Wow.
And then in that position, my consciousness body was taken to a still higher dimension.
Mm-hmm.
It's a two-stage process, physical as well as spiritual. It was the latter which is most important, because there I was able to see that there were spiritual guides, and that there was a hierarchy of intelligence that dealt with the terrestrial realities that we define as physical sciences, planetary sciences, all of this which we're seeing now on the big screen as deep space reality. But beyond all of this, there was something even greater, and that was the realization that there was a Godhead that was working with the hierarchy, which in turn dealt with the details of the physical universe. So we're talking about all space as opposed to space-time of one particular a branch of our immediate physical universe.
Right. So I would also add to the point that this is why there's such interesting information. It was not an extraterrestrial or just, in that case, a psychic experience. It was actually, he was gone for 2 days. His students couldn't find him who were with him. And then when he came back, like I said, it was a totally new reality that he was speaking of. So it was quite interesting. I think, if I can say, Ted, are you outside? Because we're getting a lot
No, I'm in a very quiet area, and there's no noise around me whatsoever.
All right. Sorry about that. Anyway, so very interesting. Maybe we're talking about going into outer space, so it kind of sounds a little spacey back there. So.
Yeah, that could be. That could be, my friends, yeah. Well,
I think that consciousness is the most important aspect of the Keys of Enoch. The keys represent various teachings that show that consciousness is not a byproduct of our physical brain, but is connected with a field of energy and higher consciousness beyond the usual field of physics. At the same time, it's closely connected with the inner workings of our brain and our mental dynamics. So we've illustrated this in other books, and coming out in a few months with Elizabeth Rauscher will be a book entitled A Mind Dynamics, which will go into a lot of the experiments that government scientists worked with some 40 years ago on showing how the mind could literally travel thousands of kilometers and pick up mathematical relationships and transpose those into visual contexts that are beyond the curve of natural science. So we're really dealing with what we will call the super senses being opened up to the human race, that we stand at the brink of a quantum leap forward in realizing that we are a part of a vast and awesome universe of living intelligence. Some form of that living intelligence we will call the cosmic others or the ultra-terrestrial is reaching out to the human race, trying to awaken us out of our lethargy, because we are reaching a cusp of planetary bio-collapse.
What do you, this is just a fascinating, you have some fascinating comments to make, my friends. Who was Enoch, by the way, for my listeners who may ask?
Well, Enoch is, according to Dr. Hertek, the one he actually experienced was the one in the Bible who's seventh from Adam, who never died but was taken up. He's known as the one who initiates into light. And he supposedly is also interconnected with Metatron, and this was also part of Dr. Hertek's experience. Metatron, yes, is one of the angelic forces. So yep, it's a whole hierarchy, and we like to say holarchy, of intelligence that exists helping humanity, helping Mother Earth, trying to awaken us. And I think that's the key to what our message is right now, is the keys of Enoch talk about past changes that have taken place on the planet, past information that has been given to humanity for generations, the present situation, but also the future. And it is a positive future, but we have to go through some major changes right now, and some of that will be being more aware of other levels of intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. But I also wanted to ask you too, what do you both see for the future of humanity? Because I often get this question myself.
We work also as consultants with various groups throughout the world, and we just came from our Mars conference in Washington, D.C., where I talked with astronaut Harrison Schmitt, who was the last geologist on the moon. And we both agree that Mars could be settled by the Chinese as early as 2020 or shortly thereafter, with the finding of fossils suggesting, talking about microfossils, a previous cycle of life similar to our planet, and that we're at the lip of finding fantastic breakthroughs in the expanding universe that will give us hope as we work through the old paradigms that are collapsing, that are giving some people a feeling of angst or uncertainty. So again, we are telling everyone to push the envelope, towards the positive side, realizing that we are luminous beings in the physical dimension, realizing that we have other possibilities.
Dr. Hertek, I'm getting quite a bit of interference. It's not from my end. Is there something there?
It's no, it really sounds like cars, and we're not there. We're in a room.
There's no car. I mean, I'm in a very extremely quiet area, and there's no noise around me. So anyway, it's funny. I just mentioned it. Now it's gone. So, okay, good. Mm-hmm. Good, Dr. Hertek, but please continue, my friend. This is really interesting what you're saying.
Right. So we're saying we see a positive future. There, you know, it really depends on the consciousness of humanity.
Sure.
If we're willing to connect with a greater understanding of life and move forward in a positive way, and we tell people, you know, get rid of the negative thought forms that are going to destroy the planet. You know,
right,
be aware, be conscious of the possibilities. But on all levels, whether it's consciousness awareness or whether it's moving into outer space or understanding humanity of how we can work in more harmonious balance with each other, these are all our future possibilities. But there's also the negative scenarios if we don't take our own awareness more seriously.
I do want to correct myself. I was speaking of Mars into the future. I was speaking about the American and Chinese efforts on the moon in the next decade. So please forgive me. We were talking about several what we will call probes that are going into space now that would find conditions of a larger biosphere that Mother Earth was once involved with.
Right. So we were just listening to scientists talk about there's a new Mars 2020 mission, which will actually be the next one landing on Mars, and hopefully, looking for microbial life. Right now, there seems to be some signs of methane gas, and although methane gas could be present from natural causes, non-biological causes, it dissipates fairly quickly. So there's a good chance that, and some scientists are now getting more and more positive, that there may be some signs of microbial life on Mars. But, you know, we're all going way beyond that. Astrophysicists at this time would clearly say that life has to exist in the universe. We are not the only one.
Oh, telescopes, you see the basic building blocks of intelligence.
Oh, absolutely. I don't mean to interrupt my friends, but I'm hearing that noise again. And it's funny, I say something and now it goes away. So whoever's doing it, if they could keep the noise away while I'm interviewing, doing this interview, I would appreciate it. Now they've stopped.
I was speaking about Uri Geller in the San Francisco radio television station, and the whole station went down, and also the backup generator went down. They couldn't figure out why. And I said, well, maybe we're tuning into the Geller effect, that mind over matter does work, and the human body is a biotransducer, bringing in energy from a higher source, and sometimes it overrides the energy network or the physical instrumentation one is working with. But we'll continue with this exciting conversation because we're very joyous of work that we're doing throughout the world, both in space as well as in anthropology, archaeology, where we've been able to work with findings in Egypt, in Syria, in Turkey, showing that human evolution is much older in terms of the artifacts of science. So we're just beginning to realize that very sophisticated systems were around tens of thousands of years ago, and we'll have to push back the human evolutionary track some, we say, 10 to 15,000 years.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you're right. I think we're a lot older than we think we are. You know, it's funny, but I remember taking classes in anthropology when I was an undergrad at the University of California, Berkeley. And I still remember they were rather limited back then anyway on the history of humanity. And I think it's far older than people think.
Well, right. We took a trip to Turkey to an area called Göbekli Tepe. And mm-hmm. has an amazing archaeological find. They're pushing it back to about 16,000 years ago. And, you know, most people think civilization really started about 6,000 years ago. But these are huge stones put in circles and spiral realities with animal reliefs on them. It shows quite an advanced art that was not normal for the area of what would be hunter-gatherers moving into Neolithic. So it really is one of the most amazing finds. We've done a lot of other research on places like Naptha, which is a stone circle south of Egypt. All these things are showing that humanity was somewhat advanced about 8 or 10,000 years ago, maybe older. Dr. Urtek actually visited Yonaguni. This is the underwater monuments off of the southern islands of
Japan. Oh, that's right.
And this is all predicted in the Keys of Enoch, where we had 12 longitudinal lines connecting with what we believe to be ancient civilizations or societies that spoke of a multidimensional universe. And we were instrumental with the Japanese in underwater exploration of the Yonaguni pyramid sites at 6 different locations.
Forgive me for interrupting, my friend, but didn't Graham Hancock also go down there? I think he mentioned that. I interviewed
him. He was on another expedition. I was with Robert Schock, and we were able to explore significant areas off of Okinawa several times. And a documentary was put out called The Temple of Mu, M-U, which was showed on Japanese national television. It is available through our website. If you're interested, you can go to thekeysofenoch.org and scroll down to our video documentaries, and one of which shows the Japanese explorers as well as members of the Scripps Institute in La Jolla, California, as well as noted scholar Stephen Oppenheimer from Oxford University, mm-hmm. all of whom agree that there was motherland that sunk in the Pacific area that holds basically clues to an earlier evolutionary cycle. So why are we interested in the past and Egypt and Turkey and Yanaguni, as well as in future cosmology? Because we are part of a larger consciousness cycle, and you have to be able to ingest the past as well as the future to bring really the whole cyclic process into clear relief.
You know, what's very interesting is not too far from Yanaguni is an area called the Isle of Flores. And as Dr. Tech was mentioning, in the Keys of Enoch on Key 215 is one of the maps, and the map goes right through this little island of Flores.
And the interference is getting really loud. It's interesting. I say something and it goes away. So it's gone away again. So good. Please continue.
Okay, so the Isle of Flores, and it's there where they found the Homo florensis, which are these little hobbits, or 3 foot tall, 1 meter high beings that existed, we'll say, you know, prior to the 6,000 year cycle that we're all familiar with. It seems like on this planet, when we talk about life in space, on this planet alone, we have the Neanderthals, which is supposedly different from us as Homo sapiens sapiens, and we also had the Homo florensis. So we had three civilizations of hominids working and living, or at least living, on this planet. And so that gives us a sign or a clue, we feel, to what life is also like in space, probably with many different forms of intelligence.
But to have these so clearly marked 30 years before the evidences were found shows that I was allowed to receive a higher scenario abstract of information that would change the course of anthropology, culture, history, linguistics. Wow. So we would be prepared for what I believe to be contact with other higher evolutionary sources that would bring us through this galactic quagmire that we're entering into with weaponization in space and what I will call a culture of violence on national television. Wherever we turn on television, wherever major stations are broadcasting, more likely than not, 75 to 90% tends to favor the negative side rather than the positive side of what life should be on this little planet.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, JJ and Desiree, because, for example, we're getting more interference. I appreciated whoever's doing it to turn it down. Okay, it's gone down a little bit on my end. I asked them. It's interesting. On much of the media, it leaves you depressed. You listen to it, and so much negativity, even on Coast to Coast. I like Coast to Coast. I think they bring a lot of good guests in. But often, for the first 5 or 10 minutes of each broadcast, George Norrie often focuses on the most awful negative stories he can find, and it leaves, sometimes I just can't listen to them because they're so negative.
Well, of course, the news media does that too, and there's a few places, I think, in San Francisco and a couple other unique places that are starting to come out with positive news so people see
Absolutely.
A positive future.
Absolutely.
We have to change the global comments, which is why your program is so important, because spiritual science in unity will revolutionize the 21st century. And we're at that time period right now where I believe the higher level of consciousness is going to reach out in some ways, like Michelangelo showed in the Sistine Chapel, of the finger of man reaching the finger of the divine. And we're going to touch the evidences of other life forms we've called the cosmic cultures. And somehow, and in some very dramatic way, a consciousness shift will take place so dramatically that all of these other paradigms of history will be seen as simple lessons in a planetary schoolhouse, mm-hmm. bringing the cultures of humanity together into a new civilization that can interact with our cosmic counterparts.
So on a very positive level, our consciousness is a force. And we saw this in the Star Wars scenario, but it's really true. And if we put out the energy to the cosmos, beings will be attracted to that and come and help us. If we sit there and think we're little lambs to the slaughter, we can do nothing, then chances are the planet will go downhill. But that's one of the reasons we never thought that 2012 was going to actually take place, because there's so much going on from other levels of intelligence to keep this planet together and help us evolve.
Well, I think I just realized that that noise in the background, it sounds like wind on my end. I don't know. Does it sound like wind on your end, too?
It sounds like,
It sounds like wind, and I think that may be a connection to the higher angelic spirit world, and they're coming in to let us know that they're around and they're listening. It could be that. I'm not sure.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like we're soaring through outer space, so all your listeners should just soaring through outer space. We're on a spaceship and we're talking to each other.
This is a reference to what was traditionally called by the philosopher subtle matter, which was beyond the monistic materialism and the anthropological dualism of Descartes. So we're beginning to realize, particularly the young scientists, educators, social workers, that the historic cultures, and I mean, also including the indigenous people with the shamanistic tradition, realized that experience was absolutely necessary to grasp higher teachings. And so the keys of Enoch are illustrated through what we call cosmograms or cosmic pictures, and that respatialize you to see a much larger reality of the inner and the outer working together. And when we begin to realize that we are vital life forces working with very unique energies and the reprocessing or the co-evolution of the human creation, it becomes so clear that every opportunity we have to exalt the positive is going to be crucial here in the transition. I would simply say, let us all try to be part of that 2% of humanity that wishes to think positively at all times, because that positive energy field is so important as we begin to swim through all of the interactions of the lower realities that are now working themselves out in the great transition we're going through.
And what we're seeing in terms of the work of remote viewing is that we can manifest our thoughts even on the other side of the planet, like right now to Syria, if you know, as it needs it, right now to places like Egypt. We can actually be there, and also to outer space. We can be part of that higher global consciousness or universal field.
And in the new book called The Mind Dynamics, we show pictures of where Elizabeth Rauscher, back in Arizona, was able to see us underground in Egypt and actually describe this. So how is that possible that one person sitting some 5,000 to 6,000 kilometers away can pick up on the physical details of colleagues working at an unknown place, not described, through a consciousness, a capture of information? So it shows that there are higher alignments of energy conservation and energy, what should we say, gathering, other energy activity that we need to know more about in the human reprogramming that is going on at the present time.
One of the things I wanted to share with you is that Nostradamus has talked about how the timeline changed about 4 or 5 years ago to a far more brighter and positive future that had been. And he said that by the you both are doing such wonderful light work, and I want to congratulate you both on your wonderful work in helping to raise the consciousness of humanity. And he said, he has said that we are now entering into a golden age of spiritual development, and which will last about 1,000 years, after which we'll become a space-faring species. And so I know that things have turned, and I just appreciate your positive message so much.
Well, we are emphasizing the transformative process of influence upwards or downwards that we have within our own hands as co-evolutionists. And if we can see how these collective realities can work, we can be part of that 1 or 2% that actually change really the psychological and psychic balance of energy. And that's the importance to realize just a handful of people can do great things if they work in harmony.
And as you mentioned, in terms of being able to go into outer space, so to speak, there's actually a new Space Act being pushed through both the House and the Senate in the next so many months. The House has already approved some of it. And it really, it's not giving us that much money that we would need to really go into space, but it is looking at allowing maybe private firms like SpaceX, which is Elon Musk, he's the guy who put out the Tesla car, to be able to do more. And looking at, you know, it's very strange, there's all these, there's a company called Planetary Resources, which has funding from Google people and everything like that, that's trying to go out into space and mine asteroids. You might not think that's a great thing, but I mean, we're becoming really not earthbound anymore. And it's not one thing to do it physically, but everybody can do it consciously, and that's the important thing. We all need to consciously no longer be earthbound beings and realize we can dwell in part in the cosmos. We call it in our over-self body, but other people can do it in other realities.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, and your work is leading the way. One thing I wanted to ask you, and when you were first exposed to this material, Dr. Hertek, back in the early 70s, did you get a message from your spiritual friends that it would take 30 or 40 years for the book to go around the globe and translate it into many languages?
I was told that there would be a 40-year period where the seed teachings or the basic concepts would go out, and scientists would debate issues, and then when certain teachings and predictions would be fulfilled, then I would release the next set of teachings. And so we've come up to that time window. That was just in the area of northern Israel, Syria, on what is called Mount Hermon, which the Syrian Christians believe to be the historic Mount of Transfiguration, where Moses, Jesus, and Elijah appear in bodies of light. According to the Keys of Enoch, this is a very important nexus point by Jesus shows himself connected with a brotherhood of angelic beings. In other words, it's a point of showing how a higher teaching was there in the New Testament of how we can gradually change ourselves into a light infusion. We can ultimately evolve ourselves as light beings.
Wonderful.
Transducing the light.
Okay, good. Now, the interference just stopped. Sorry to interrupt, Dr. Hertek, but the interference just stopped, as I said. Please continue. I'm sorry. I had to interrupt you.
But what I'm saying is, if we look and demythologize the concepts of religion to the code of information or the vibration of language and music behind these historical teachings, we will see that we are all participating in a much larger family of intelligence. And what the Bible or ancient texts of the Orient call messengers or angelic beings really represents those who are able to transit space-time horizons and interconnect with other consciousness realities to a level that ultimately one unfolds or touches and interconnects with the other. So we are in a process of psychological, biological evolution speeding up, and the ultimate breakthrough ahead will be this quantum change, where we will realize that we're evolving into an evolution of light, capital L. Superluminal lights.
Right, and part of the struggle really moves us ahead, and that's sadly, of course, we should just move ahead. I'll let you talk for a minute here as we're soaring through space.
Okay. All right. Well, can you hear me now? Okay, we were getting, now the interference is gone. Interestingly enough, I say something and it goes away. Good.
Anyway, well, what I was trying to say is, you know, there is some negativity that's taking place on the planet, whether you look at climate change, the drought in California and the whole Northwest and other areas. But these are things to really wake us up and to really get in touch with our higher selves and the higher aspects of divine intelligence, which I believe is watching this planet and also here to help us, the angelic intelligence we call ultra-terrestrial, so that we can start moving forward. You know, if everything is just like very nice, then we don't move. We don't make a difference. We don't really push ourselves.
I mean, well, that's true.
Are we to be silicon cyborgs as the ultimate reality, a supercomputer that's going to dictate to the human race as a secondary reality, or are we going to make a breakthrough through parapsychology, paraphysics,
sure,
and maybe future science or science guided by higher consciousness to realize that we are beings who ultimately can become cosmic citizens and players in this vast, awesome universe? And I realize that it's so hard to compress this in a short period of conversation. And this is why I put out music that we have done with Alice Coltrane, music we've done with great singers all throughout the world who have been able to show us that there are mantric seed forms of energy that will help us bring this energy through.
Right.
And Carlos Santana, who works closely with us, as you know in his life story, has changed from going from a drug, heavy metal situation to a spiritual situation of how music and poetry can inspire the human being that begins to realize that they can ingest light. They can fuse themselves with a higher process of bioluminescence. And in this higher realms of creativity, compassion, and human service comes forth as a result, not just words for the sake of words.
Wow. That's amazing. I hadn't realized that about Carlos Santana. That's a beautiful story. One thing you mentioned a few minutes ago, now the interference is going away. One thing you mentioned a few minutes ago was the temperatures, the drought out here in the Northwest in Washington State. And I can speak with some experience with that because much of the drought is actually caused by our U.S. government. The U.S. Navy dumps many tons of sulfur into the air in eastern Washington, making it much hotter than it ordinarily would be. I've got laboratory tests from when they did spraying of chemicals in the air last summer, where the temperatures ranged between 100 to 125 degrees, yet they were still spraying sulfur in the air, magnifying the effect of the extreme heat and raising it by easily another 5 to 10 degrees. But I know that there are negative forces on this planet out to do us harm, but I so appreciate your positive message for the future and getting people in touch with the spiritual side, because I know that there are good things coming for humanity.
Right, and so if people want to know a little bit more about our work, you can go to keysofenoch.org or also our Keys of Enoch Facebook page and other aspects. So I hope some of your listeners are interested in knowing maybe a little bit more of, and we do see a positive future. Yeah, there's negative things happening.
Sure.
But we have a book out also entitled Consciousness, Energy, and Future Science. And in this, we have several chapters that deal with the agricultural, ecological cycles that we have to be working with. And we are also working with permaculture, eco-villages throughout the world. And so we understand that you have to have a ground structure of the biological side, the planetary science, to go with the cosmology of higher consciousness. Otherwise, you're just talking about blue sky. So,
but you know, the Indians, the Native Americans, as they call themselves, made a difference. They were able to produce rain. They were able to, right. You know, be a change in environment. And I think we all need to be the Native Americans and ask for the rain to come and change our consciousness from fear to creativity.
And fear and love. And love and gratitude to creativity. I couldn't agree with you more, Desiree. Thank you so much, and JJ, for sharing that.
Very honored to be with you. I'm sorry that some of our audience will not connect the dots because of what I will call the interference patterns, but this doesn't surprise us. In our lectures throughout the world, we've often seen that some situations sometimes are just not to be publicly discussed, and there are systems out there that do not want some information to come through on the higher levels. Nevertheless, our thrill is to see the dance of the cosmos that's shown itself through the Hubble telescope, through the Kepler mission, through all sorts of wonderful things on the horizon of what we will call the visions of the future. And to that end, we welcome our audience to go to our library of books, of films, of DVDs, and especially music that we've done with major musicians throughout the world, and be part of what I will call the linguistics of interdimensional music, the process of waking up the chakras, the energy field within us that is so precious, because without first going through inner space, one cannot understand the pragmatic realities of outer space that requires a balance of all of the sciences in spiritual areas of attunement and unity.
Wonderful, Dr. Hertek. Thank you, and Desiree, for sharing that. Could you please give my many listeners around the world your website again so they can get more information?
Right. So we're at www.keysofenoch.org. And it also exists in other languages, too, like the Spanish and the German and the French, if anyone's listening in French or other languages.
So we'll sign off with the Greek words ad astra, which means to the stars. May the divine shower you with sparks of insight, with positive change and compassion for all humanity, and may we be prepared for this great quantum change with understanding, patience, and humility.
Thank you so much, Dr. Hertek, for sharing that, and Desiree, for your time today, and I really appreciate you coming on my show.
Okay, hopefully we'll do it again sometime.
Absolutely. Love to have you both back at any other time. And so you have I hope you have a wonderful evening, a wonderful week, and I hope you thank you again for coming on today.
Okay. All right. Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Dr. Hertek.
Blessings.
Bye-bye.
Hello, friends. Wasn't that a fascinating interview? Dr. J.J. Hertek and his wife, Dr. Desiree Hertek, are world-famous spiritualists. And I found them really interesting how they spoke about how everything is connected to everything else and how we're co-creators with the universe. Please stay tuned for our next hour. We'll be talking to Cassandra Dunn about John of God, who's a miracle worker and can really help people heal almost any condition. Please stay tuned, my friends.